Welcome to episode number 338 of the Family Podcast Network. Today on Media Sucks Monday, we're going to cover a couple of articles. Number one, perhaps one of my absolute most favorite bloggers over is Teacher Tom, Teacher Tom's blog.blogspot.com. Teacher Tom hits on some great, great topics. Today we're going to talk about his article on the ultimate weakness of punishment. That's right, we're going to go over a little bit about the ideas of punishment. Does it work? Does it not work? And why does Trey ultimately feel that it is a weak way of parenting? Also, guys, we're going to end on a lighter note today. We're going to talk about some of the 10 dumbest things I've ever said to my toddlers. Some of these I haven't done. Some of these I do regularly. We're going to get a little bit of a laugh out of that. And on a light note, stay tuned for that and more.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. It doesn't matter if you're expecting, if you're a brand new mom and dad, or even if you're a longtime seasoned parent. There is always something we can do to take our parenting to the next level. The date today is November the 3rd, 2014. It is start of the week Monday. Let me tell you guys, we learned a valuable lesson today, all the way into this evening as we are beginning to set up for podcasting on Sunday night before the Monday we put out the show. It is not wise. Number one, why is it that kids, young kids, can't just understand the fact that it is time change and you need to just sleep an extra hour? My wife and I alternate out who has, quote-unquote, has the kids tonight, which that just means if somebody wakes up, who's kind of the one in charge? And my wife covers probably 90% of all of those. But every so often, she's just like, man, can I have a night off tonight? And I'm like, yeah. And let me tell you, agreeing to do that on the night of time change was a bad idea because every one of our kids decided. We normally wake up around 8 to 8:15 is when we get up. Remember, guys, we homeschool, unschool, so we just don't have to be up at 6 o'clock getting dressed. And so we had that this morning. Yeah, every kid woke up at 7:15 anyway. So Trey was up last night with kids. No big deal. But now, let me tell you, right now I'm podcasting what I normally do. I typically get started around 9:30 or 10 to start podcasting. But you got to realize that's like 10:30 to 11 for me and what my body's used to. So right now it's 11:30 p.m. on Sunday night, which means for my body, it feels like it's 12:30. So, bad idea. We learned a lesson. Before we get into that, guys, quick housekeeping. If you guys want to get notified of any new episodes, jump over to thefamilypodcast.com, right-hand side, name and email address. Make sure that you never miss out on any of those episodes that Trey knocks out. Don't forget to go like us over on Facebook. A lot of ways you can do that. You can always search for us over at Facebook or go to thefamilypodcast.com. Up in the left-hand corner, you'll see a little Facebook icon. You can click on that. Make sure you share this episode over to your Facebook page. Let your other friends see it. And don't forget to like. We always thank those with the Family Podcast Network Like Brigade over at our Facebook page. You guys are the ones that are always liking it. When you do, it pumps us up in Facebook to help us out and get seen more. Guys, if you want to support the show, 30 cents per episode. If you're getting three dimes out of all the help and the work and the ideas and the thoughts and the support and the networking that you've gotten over the last few years, consider becoming a PTACker. That's right. That's our Parents for the Ethical Treatment of Adolescents and Kids. That's our funny spinoff on PETA. But that's a way to say you want to support the show and become a member here. When you do that, you do get access to exclusive stuff available only to you guys as members, including your very own page that you can do stuff that nobody else can do. Consider becoming a PTACker. Last, if you guys have any questions, comments, thoughts, concerns, jump over to the Family Podcast. Click on the contact. There's lots of ways to touch base with us. All right, guys. I wanted to keep that as short as I possibly could, so that we could jump into our topic for today. Again, we're going to have a good show today. I think you guys are really going to enjoy this. We're going to go over potentially one of my favorite guys. I've been working on seeing if we can get Teacher Tom on the show for a little while now. He and I actually kind of started in some negotiations about getting him on. Something happened, and he wasn't able to get back to me. So I just have to assume that he's either real busy, and frankly, not everybody's not for doing this online, you know, internet radio type thing. And some people just prefer to type. That's where their skill set really lies, is in typing. And Tom may just, he may not be a radio guy. I don't know. We'll try to figure it out. I'm going to keep trying and see if I can coax him on the show, because the dude just doesn't stop pumping out anything that I don't go, yes, that is it. this guy's got it. And so I love reading his stuff. You ever want to get a place that is, it is FPN, Trey Gibson, approval stamp, boom. Go read any of his stuff, and you'll find, I don't think he's knocked out anything that I don't agree with yet. At all. And that says a lot because he's got a ton of posts that he's put out. Just go to Teacher Tom and just roll the dice on him and just pick any article that he's written out. It's amazing stuff. We're going to cover one of his articles today that talks about the ultimate weakness of punishment. Also, after that, guys, we're going to go over just kind of a fun, lighthearted article about some of the 10 dumbest things that I've said to my toddler. Again, like we said in the intro segment, this is some stuff that I identified with but also got a big laugh out of. So let's go ahead and jump into our first article today. Again, this is over at teachertomsblog.blogspot.com. We'll have a link to this in the show notes today. He writes in his article, "When our daughter Josephine was 3 years old, we purchased an expensive front row seat to a classical musical performance. It wasn't a special family performance. We had become a fan of the late Vladimir Horowitz via video, and this concert featured, not Horowitz, of course, but an up-and-comer that many said had great potential. We were all excited for it, and in Josephine's case, probably too excited. She simply couldn't stop talking, even once the performance began. When my whispered urges and cajoling didn't have the desired effect, my embarrassment mounted, and I turned to threats of, 'If you don't stop talking, we're going to have to leave.' When that didn't work, I pulled the punitive route. 'If you don't stop talking, we're going to have to leave and you don't get to choose any gum for 3 days. She was very into chewing gum at this time. As we eventually packed up and slinked out of the concert hall, I was fuming. In contrast, Josephine seemed, frankly, happy as a lark. I said, 'We had to leave that expensive piano concert because you couldn't stop talking. It was ruining the show for everyone.' I never resorted to punishment before, but in the moment, to this very inexperienced and agitated parent, it seemed like the proper course. I wasn't even sure that she knew what the word punishment meant. I said, 'You're going to get a punishment. I told you that if you kept talking, that you wouldn't get any gum for 3 days. We had to leave, so no gum for 3 days.' This got her attention. 'Why?' 'Because you were talking in the concert. 3 days is too long. I told you that if you didn't stop talking, you wouldn't get a punishment. You would get a punishment of no gum for 3 days. Why? Because you were ruining the concert for other people. But I like chewing gum.' This conversation went on like this all the way home. Me trying to draw the connection between no gum and talking in the concert, while she just wanted to talk about no gum, completely unable, it seemed, to comprehend that one had to do with the other. Yes, she understood that you can't talk in a show and understood why we had left. That's what I wanted our conversation to be about. She, however, was only interested in talking about gum, why it had to be 3 days, and why her dad was taking it away, apparently completely baffled by this entirely unnatural consequence. That was our family's first and last foray into the world of punishment. I think we got lucky. I learned a lesson that I was not to buy expensive concert tickets for a 3-year-old. Being able to sit quietly in the front row isn't necessarily in the skill set of young children. We stuck with the 3-day gum punishment because we didn't know what else to do. Every conversation we had during the enforced hiatus would turn to the subject of gum. Not long ago, I reminded my 17-year-old of this episode. She remembered the punishment, but nothing else. It didn't surprise me at all." So what a great article here. You know, we talk about punishment here a lot. So when we discuss punishment, we have to kind of separate some of these things out, because a lot of times we kind of blend and stir and mix the ingredients of parenting all together, and we sometimes call these concepts all as one entity when in fact they're actually different entities. So let's talk about these differences just real quick. First off, when we hear the word punishment, we often think of this as the idea of the application of something that helps correct our children, right? I want to separate that out from a few different thoughts. Number one, I want to bring in this idea of what here at the Family Podcast Network, what I frequently refer to as discipline. Now, a lot of times people say, oh, a discipline is a punishment, right? Well, not exactly. Not in the classically defined way that we're talking about it here. This word discipline actually comes from a Greek word, which is discipulos. It is the exact same place that we get the English word disciple, like, for instance, the one that comes out of the Christian Bible, disciple. And the idea of what a disciple was someone who taught to people. So when we say that we are practicing discipline with our children, at least classically defined, not necessarily how societally we define that today, When we say we're disciplining our kids, what we're really talking about is teaching and training our kids to know what is the right thing to do and what is the wrong thing to do, and in many ways, why it is the best to choose one and avoid the other. So when we say discipline, what we're talking about here is the ability to teach our kids we don't hit. Why? Well, we don't hit because we don't like it when other people hit us, and it hurts. And it's a part of violating and or encroaching on people's right to not get hit, right? We teach them why those things are. Most namely and most notably, we do it under the premise of treat other people the way you'd want to be treated, or don't hurt anybody else in a way that you wouldn't want to be hurted. Oh, there's my English for you right there. And any way that you don't want to be hurt, right? That's the mentality behind it. That is discipline at its finest right there, is that we're educating our kids. So if our kids comes in and throws a huge fit and throws their stuff around, right? Discipline sets in and we come in and we stop them. Maybe we have to stop them sometime from destroying other people's property. And we say, listen, you cannot do that. You cannot throw your books at the glass window. Somebody tell me why. You don't do that because it might break the glass. It could hurt you. It costs extra money. You would have to pay to work that stuff off, right? We explain to them why these things are through discipline. Punishment is quite frequently the application of a negative consequence, typically not connected with what is logically happening in their life, in a way to make their life uncomfortable so that they'll stop doing something. So if a kid comes home and he's got bad grades, we punish them by taking away their weekends to go out, or we take away their favorite toy, or their video games, or their comic books, or their Yu-Gi-Oh, whatever the junk it is that is important to our kids, we take something important away from them. That's called a punishment, right? Well, the problem with these ideas of punishment, the application of an uncomfortable consequence that is typically illogical, is that very fact right there. It's illogical. It doesn't make any sense why we're doing it. And just like this little three-year-old, especially in kids under the age of four, and sometimes it can go higher than four, guys. I've seen five-year-olds that struggle with this too, but they have a hard time with causal mentality. Now, causal mentality is this idea of when I do this, then this happens to me. So kids struggle with this in the ages of four and under, and again, sometimes a little higher, but they really struggle with this. And so when we're trying to teach a kid, whenever you do this X thing, then this really uncomfortable thing is going to come along. They have a difficult time connecting those two. Oh, whenever I bring home a bad grade or a pink slip from the teacher or my mom and dad get an email from the teacher saying that I was up walking around all the time, then I come home and I have to do extra chores. That is a very difficult way to teach kids. They have to be logical. There has to be some level of connection. So like I had a parent a while back in an email and say, well, Trey, I was listening to what you said about this idea of logical consequences, and I realized that I've been, you know, every time my son comes home with bad grades, I've been taking away his Xbox. Is that not a logical consequence? I feel like I'm doing it wrong. Something like that. And I told him, I said, well, it depends on what your mentality is. If your mentality is, oh, you've been having bad grades, so I'm going to take away something fun to you to make sure that you quit doing this. No, that is not a good logical consequence. In that case, what does it matter having fun combined with bad grades? There is a connection there. Give me a second. We'll get to that. But that connection can be so weak that a kid doesn't get it. However, if you say, listen, sweetie, we need to talk about this. You've got these bad grades, and we can't keep doing this. And so we're going to take away Xbox because we notice that you play a lot. And then when it's time for you to do your homework, you rush through your homework because you spent so much time on your video games. So we're going to take those away. Or we're going to move your video game time to after you get done with Xbox, right? Or it could be the other way around. You could say, well, I mean, we've been doing that. We put their Xbox after homework, but they rush through it because they're trying to get to where they're going to play, right? So there's lots of different ways that you can do that, that you can think about it. But the bottom line is there needs to be a connection between that. If your kid says, you know, I don't want to wear a jacket today and it's cold outside, and you come in and you say, you're going to wear your jacket or you can't have a snack today when you get home from this from school. Well, what in the flying flip of junk does a snack have anything to do with a jacket? What is the logical consequence in that? They go to school without a jacket. Maybe their butt freezing cold. Or maybe they're fine. I promise you this. You may not... you probably don't need to make this phone call, but you may need to give a call to the teacher or let the bus driver know or something like that and say, hey, listen, we tried to tell them to take a jacket today. They refused, and so they don't have it. It's okay if you say, you know, hey, do you want to put a jacket on? Let's put a jacket on. No, I don't want to. Well, baby, it's cold outside. Don't you want to have a jacket on? No, I don't want one. I tell you what, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put it in your bag. You do not have to wear it, right? It's okay to give them those options as tertiary backups and those kinds of things. But allowing kids to suffer natural consequences. You see, kids' line of thinking is very linear. When I do this, then I have this consequence, right? They can follow through that very linearly. I'm not sure I said that right. But when we begin to tie in extraneous punishment, quote unquote, that is absolutely unrelated, it has a tendency to throw kids off. And throwing off kids are not what we want. We want kids that are connecting. We want them connecting with what we're talking about and what we're doing here. So again, when you can say, they come home and they say, oh, Mom, I was so cold today. Well, do you see, that's whenever I say, why don't you take a jacket with you? That's what I meant, is I didn't want you to be cold. Whenever we go to school without a jacket, it can get very cold for us, right? Then they can connect those two things together. The reality is that punishment rarely ever works. And here's the other thing about punishments. In most all cases, I think that punishment is primarily about the parent feeling better. We see our kid doing something that we don't like. For instance, in this case, we'll take Teacher Tom's perspective of being at a piano recital with your kid talking. Whenever we use punishment, when we apply something uncomfortable or painful or hurtful that has no connection to what logically would happen, then in most cases we're doing it because it's power and it's control. We always talk about here at the Family Podcast Network, most of the issues in parenting today, if you really stop and take a look at the problems that you have with your kid, in almost all cases, I'll tell you, it comes back to power and control. We believe that we have some level of power and some level of control over our kids. And so we attempt to use whatever form that we do it in, whether it's taking gum away or whether it's like, you know, Homestead to Gibson, where we might yell at our kids. I mean, I don't yell at my kids ever. But yeah, no, I do, by the way, just for the record. And so with all that said, we use that as a form of power and control. It's a punishment. Are you punishing a kid? Here's a good question. Are you punishing a kid when you yell at them? Absolutely. It's just loud nagging is all it is. Whenever you're yelling at your kid, you're attempting to use your verbal, you're using fear, but you're attempting to use coercion through the loudness of your voice to attempt to force your kid to avoid that uncomfortable consequence, that uncomfortable punishment of the addition of daddy yelling at them or mama yelling at them, right? So all it is. It's just a form of punishment. What is you being scary loud have anything to do with whether or not I stay in bed? And if you're not careful, you'll get that one kid that will test those boundaries like we have in our home now. And you begin to realize, number one, how weak they are. Not the kid, but the consequences, the punishments that you're doling out. But two, you're going to find that they really don't connect any level of natural logical consequence. And then what you have is you got a 16-year-old one day that'll remember that you took away their gun or that you told them they couldn't go anywhere, they couldn't spend the night at their friend's house, or that they couldn't have their Xbox, but they don't have a clue about what that has to do with regular life. All they typically feel as they get older is controlled, which is accurate and true. So what we want them to do is we want them to experience natural consequences in life, the things that stink, the things that suck. I'm not even saying that taking this young lady out of the concert that day was the wrong thing to do. I think it very likely could have been because, you know, a logical consequence is if you can't be quiet and something that needs you to be quiet, then we have to leave because it affects the performance that everybody else is experiencing, the entertainment that everybody else is experiencing. That's important just as much as our experience is important. So are the people around us. But taking gum away, I mean, what does gum have to do with anything? And Teacher Tom recognizes that years later. But the thing with punishment is that it rarely is it ever logical. Rarely does it ever make sense. The bottom line is, there are plenty of consequences that naturally occur in our lives today that are more than enough for our kids to teach them. Not only that, they make more freaking sense. That's why we call them natural or logical consequences, because there is a level of thought logic to it. When I ask them to think it through, it goes like this. Hey, remember whenever I said that you should do this, but you chose to do that instead? Uh-huh. Well, whenever you did that, what was your consequence? Well, it was really cold because I didn't have my jacket, right? Versus with punishment, it is, hey, do you remember whenever I told you that you shouldn't do this and that if you didn't, you would regret it, right? And what happened is, well, you did this to me, right? It always leads back to one of them, they just experienced life, and the other one, it becomes me as the parent, issuing out something painful or uncomfortable or hurtful that I doled out to them. One of them allows the natural pieces of life, the natural pieces of life to dole out the consequences. Instead, what I'd rather do is let life dole out those consequences, but create trust, build trust with my kids to where they listen to me, to where they know that I desire to see them be successful and to do well and to learn about life and to understand the intricacies of all the things that are out there, including being booty freezing cold and getting a jacket and how important that is. Not just because I think it's important, but because they understand its importance. One of those requires me to be the one who doles out the punishment, and as subsequently puts me in the position to where I am the one who is often not liked or enjoyed, which is sometimes natural part of parenting. Sometimes we have to not be liked by our kids. God, I'm not poo-pooing on that. But that's one instance where I don't want them to be adverse in their thoughts of me. Instead, what I'd rather them do is experience the natural, logical consequences, the stuff that's going to happen because they made a bad choice, preferably in things that are non-life-threatening, etc., and then trust me still to come to me and talk with me about that. Dad, I was so cold today. Man, I bet you were, buddy. That's why I tried to tell you before you left, grab a jacket, because I didn't want you to go and be cold. You see, that allows us to connect with him and to process and to think and to discuss how your choice made an effect. Well, Trey, you don't seem to understand. My kid's still too young to understand this, just like Teacher Tom's was. That's okay. Keep talking. Keep using the vernacular. Keep throwing that word consequence in there, even though you know they're not understanding it. Because the whole goal of our parenting, in regards to this idea of disciplining our children, teaching our children the right way to go, is about showing them what the wrong way is and helping them process that, helping them think that out. So valuable, and it's so powerful. So make sure that you spend this week taking punishment out of your parenting, whether that punishment being making them hurt for something or, you know, just yelling at them. Or maybe you're not even yelling. Maybe you're just nagging them. Maybe you're just sitting there lecturing them, and it's more about listening to yourself talk than it is about them learning something. That's a punishment, guys. You're applying the uncomfortable the uncomfortable response of listening to me drone on about what the right and wrong things are to do rather than really caring about what your kids are interested in and getting them there. Great article. Teacher Tom, if you ever hear this one day, come to the show. Be a guest. Click that Be a Guest button. Let's get you on the show because your stuff is excellent. Next article is an article over at scarymommy.com. The 10 dumbest things that I have said to my toddlers. That's right, we're going to light the mood a little bit. It's always a little dark and a little dreary talking about discipline and punishments and all that other stuff because I disagree with people on a lot of that stuff, and that makes people uncomfortable. So let's talk about something a little more fun here. This is written over at scarymommy.com, written by Christina. It doesn't say what her last name is. But she said, since having kids, I tend to say things that I have never said and do things I've never done. Being a mom has made me rattle off some of the dumbest questions and pointless sentences of my life. Some so ridiculous that after I say them, I think to myself, what does that even mean? So that's what caught my attention in this, guys, is that I thought, what does that even mean? I know how many times I do that. That's one of the best attributes. I have a lot of really bad habits as a parent. I want to be very clear on this. But one of my favorite habits that I look at and think I just stumbled across this wasn't my amazing intellect figuring this out. This was just pure being in the right place, figuring out half this stuff by people that are way bigger than I'm ever going to be and just kind of standing on the shoulders of giants here. This is one of my favorite ones. And that's one of the things that I do is I say, what does that even mean, Trey? I get these mentalities and these ideas and these thoughts about the way I think things should be or the way kids should act or the way that I should parent. And I say these things sometimes out loud. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm glad the recording mic wasn't on for FPN because that would be – we would package that show as, let me show you the dumbest crap I've ever done. And so I connected with this in the level of what she's talking about here. And some of these I love. Some of these I say frequently. Some of them I don't, but I think they're worth going through. Number one, if you don't get your shoes on, then I'm leaving without you. Now, This is one that I do. And so this is one of the ones that I'm glad she started with this one. I do this one frequently. Guys, listen, if you don't hurry up, I'm going to leave without you guys. I'm going to get in that car. I'm going to drive off without you. And the reality is, am I really going to ever? No, I'm never going to leave my kids. All my kids are below the age of 8 right now, or 8 or below, I should say. And so with that, I'm never going to leave my 8-year-old or lower kids by themselves anywhere at this point. And so am I really going to do that? And so sometimes I ask myself, what's this to do? And the reality is, whenever I'm trying to do that, what am I using? I'm using fear to do what with my kids? You got it. Control. It's about control. I want my kids to elicit the response from them that I think is right, e.g. in this case, faster behavior, moving quicker. I want to elicit that reaction and behavior from them, and I don't want to do it through relationship. Instead, I want to make them afraid. I want them to make them afraid that they're going to be here by themselves. And I remember that I finally caught on to that I was doing this. My son is a tender man, and I think he is going to be just a wonderful husband because he's still so connected with his emotions. And I mean that in the good way, not in the cry titty baby type way that a lot of people move into when you talk about this, but he is just so compassionate and so thoughtful and so caring because of that emotional ability that he has. And, you know, so whenever I remember one time I told him, I said, son, listen, if you don't hurry up, I'm gonna drive out without you, bud. And I mean, he started just hustling to get his shoes on as quickly as he could and get all his clothes and stuff. But he was sobbing, and I was like, dude, what's the deal here, man? He's like, Dad, I'm terrified of you leaving me here by myself. And I stopped, and of that, the way he said it in the authentic fear in my beautiful boy's eyes was so weighty that it literally felt like I had been punched in the gut. I mean, painful response. Reaction, excuse me, a painful reaction to him saying that. And I realized a few things in that moment. I said, number one, I'm never going to leave him. I would never drive out without him. He's so stinking important to me. What am I really wanting out of the situation? I'm wanting him to speed up. So my desire then out of that is I'm going to make him afraid of something that I'm going to do to get him to speed up. Now, sticking back to what we said earlier, what is that? Is that a discipline or a punishment? That was a pure old-fashioned punishment is all that was. I was trying to add the uncomfortable or painful application of pain or fear, excuse me, to get the reaction that I want. In a lot of ways, we would say that's manipulation and control. So that's one of those ones that just say, I'm never going to leave without them. I mean, I mean, sometimes I might, like, I mean, we've had with one of our foster kiddos, whenever she's throwing a fit, and we're talking like a humongous rage screaming fit in the middle of the car, you know, we have got her out and stuck her on the side of the sidewalk for a little bit while she finishes her scream fit, because we're not going to have all the kids listening to this ear-piercing scream. And we've had a few times I said, okay, you ready to go? Let's go, baby. And this little kiddo has looked us in the face and said, I'm not getting in. And we have before put it in drive and driven down that road quite a little ways before that little kiddo jumped up and said, I'm ready to go, I'm getting in. Would we really have left her? There's no way. I mean, outside of the physical ramifications, we care for her too much. We would never drive off without her. But on the other flip side of that, too, you know, have we used that before to our advantage? Yes. The first description that I gave you guys with my son was about fear. The last one was just more about motivation. And we were bumping into a battlefield in terms of a power struggle that we just couldn't play. We couldn't play that game with her because she will gobble power very quickly. And a big part of us disciplining her is being able to teach her that whenever you manipulate people to do what you want to do through any kind of things like this, it's not good for you. It won't turn out well. So anyway, number two. Do you want me to spank you? Has any kid ever answered the question? You know, answered this question, yes. I mean, really, has anybody ever said, oh, yes, me, please whoop my booty? I remember there used to be a stand-up comedian named Tom, I think Mike Lowry was his name. And anyway, he always used to talk about, you know, a spanking. And he's like, if these spanking things are so good, I tell you what, you always say that it hurts you more than it hurts me. Let's trade places. No kid wants to be spanked, and it's a ridiculous question. Whenever we say, do you want me to spank you, what are we really saying? If you keep refusing to submit to what I'm telling you that you have to do, I'm going to apply pain to make you do it, right? That is a punishment. Again, what do we say most punishment is rooted in? The need to control. Anytime that we try to use physical means, it is an attempt at control. Now, there are cases that I do believe that the use of physical application is, in fact, necessitated when it comes to working with other people, and that's whenever it's self-defense. If somebody is hurting us, or they are hurting people that we care about, or hurting innocent people and we want to get involved, or they're destroying our property, I believe that that is a moment that you are allowed to use force, violence, pain, hurt, to stop that person. Now, for me and my belief system, that's fundamental rights. That's a fundamental right. Remember, a right is something that is inherent to you. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to vote it into to belief systems. It is something that is for you inherently. And the right to human safety, whether it's our personal things or our people in our lives or ourselves, is inherent to us. However, when somebody violates us in any one of those, they violate their right to their safety. Whenever somebody says, it's important for me to take a swing at Trey because he cut me off at the road, you violate your right to safety. So, whenever we say, do you want me to spank you, what we are really saying is, I am going to move myself into a point that if you do not do what I want you to do, then I'm going to apply pain to make you do what I want. Number three, if you don't clean up that mess, you're going straight to bed. Also, it's 2 in the afternoon. Now, this is not one that we actively practice a lot, but we have done that before. We have threatened before, like with our kids, like if you guys don't get this room cleaned up, or if y'all don't have this house straightened up, you know, by such and such time, then you guys aren't getting any dinner. You know, we've done that a couple of times, but we stopped and looked at that one real quick and said, this just isn't right, man. Leveraging a kid's need to eat is something that we just do not feel comfortable with personally. Don't get me wrong. There's certain instances like where if we make something and a kid says, I don't want this. This is gross. Okay, you don't eat. We don't have any problem. I mean, we come from a household that is not hurt when it comes to food. We don't allow kids to push us around with stuff like that if they refuse to eat or something like that. But we never hold back. We tried that one time. We just talked about it and just didn't. Corey and I didn't feel like it was a right move, at least not for us as a family. But that's kind of the same mentality, you know. I mean, I'm going to send you straight to bed. You don't get any kind of food. And that's just not for us. The second issue that we take with this is that if you're setting yourself up with your kids that you're telling them that you're going to do or not do something, and then you don't follow through with it, is a bad, bad place to be. Because kids will realize very, very quickly that you don't mean what you say and that you will talk a big talk about how you're going to do these things, but you won't really do it. You know, if you don't clean that up, you're going to go straight to bed. Well, if it is, in fact, 2 in the afternoon, you're not going to send your kids straight to bed. And the other thing that we hate is, for us, we hate associating natural things in life with things being like punishments again. So, for instance, we don't want our kids to hate going to bed. If every time you have to go to bed is because you screwed up with something, then kids are going to develop a kind of an unhealthy perspective on going to bed. And I don't want my kids to hate going to bed. I want them to love going to bed. I want them to look forward to it. I want them to look, you know, enjoy getting a nice rest in. So anyway, we don't like that. We don't like that one. If you don't stop, I'm turning this car around and we're going home. This only ever happens on days where we have to be someplace like a doctor, a bank, or a preschool. But again, the bottom line is if you're not really going to turn around, don't turn around. We've never done the I'm going to turn this around, but I've issued out idle threats that I'm never going to really back up. It's kind of funny now, and my wife laughs at me because you can tell when I've bumped myself into one of these four things that were, you know, these things we're talking about in this list where I'm not really ever going to back it up. And typically it'll sound like this. I was like, you know, I tell you what, kids, if you guys can't wrap this crap up real quick, then I'm going to do something that you're really not going to like. What that is, 9 times out of 10 inferring, is that I ran into one of those classical cliches that I was going to say, that it was going to be a threat that I knew I was never going to back up on, but I back myself up on, but I know I've already walked too far into this comment, so I'm just going to follow it out. And I do that all the time. Don't say things that you're not really going to do. You'll have 30 seconds to get those toys cleaned up, or I'm throwing them all away. Throwing them all away, those toys, is an awful lot of work. I have no desire to partake in an activity of this nature. Now, see, the reality is this is actually one of them that we will eventually tell our kids. If we've come in and told them for the majority of the day they need to pick up a certain spot or a certain set of toys and they don't do it, we will actually come and pick them up and put them in trash bags. Typically what we do is we take them out and stick them in storage, and then whenever they feel like they might be ready to earn them back, then we might go out and pull them out and bring them. And but most of the time we tell them we're going to toss them in the trash. Say, listen, guys, if you don't guys won't get these cleaned up, we're going to toss these in the trash. Probably about every 3 to 6 months, we kind of go through a ritualistic toy tossing session where whenever we've just had like some Christmases and some birthdays, it never seems to fail that some of my family just buys my kids just these crap, cheap, super, you know, dollar store, just has a ton of tiny little parts toys that are eventually going to get spread out. You know, the things like the, you know, the My Little Pony or little horse pasture stuff that comes with like the, you know, the comb for the mane and all this other crap, and they're going to lose that stuff quick. We kind of go through a ritualistic slang to where we throw away 2/3 of all the toys, and we keep either what they want to keep or the things that we see them actively playing with, and then we toss everything else or take it to Goodwill if it's good enough, those kinds of things. But that sounds crazy, and that may sound cold and cold-hearted, but our kids will get these toys that they're not interested in, they don't ever play with, and all they become is a point of contention. Because Charlotte, our 2-year-old, will come and dump them all out. Well, somebody's got to clean them up. And the kid who didn't do it can't clean it up. And the 2-year-old may not necessarily be in a place where she can clean them all up. And so it just creates – it's strife. It just breeds strife in the family. And we've just found when we trim toys out, we take away the unmanageable amount of toys that they have. And we leave them with those things that they actually play with and they don't have a ton of stuff to dump out all over the place. Whenever we say clean up, we just have so many less problems. Number 6, if you don't eat, then I'm not going to give you any more dinner. We don't do this one, but I get this one, and I see this one happen a lot. That doesn't make any sense. If you're saying that if you don't eat, then I'm not going to give you any more dinner. Well, the reality is we have a tendency to kind of force our kids to eat stuff. We make it a deal, a thing, when it comes to eating. But the reality is, if your kid is farting around and playing at the table a whole bunch, more than likely, they're probably not all that hungry. The human body and its intrinsic desire to keep itself alive is pretty incredible about bringing focus to even what you might dub the most ADHD person in the world. Our human desire to survive and to eat has a tendency to make that go away. The reality is we're a fat-satiated country. Guys, I did not just call you or your kids fat. By that, I mean we are a nation that has so much excess of food, time, etc., technology, that we are a country that is just not used to the concept of need. I mean, real need. And when your body is in a position to where it really needs things, it's amazing what it'll eat. It'll eat raw foods, it'll eat bugs, because it's just that hungry. So anyway, we make a big deal out of dinner when the reality is, you know, if they're messing around a whole bunch, they're probably not hungry anymore. Now, I want to make sure that I segue this. I have seen one instance with one mom and one kiddo to where the kid makes a thing out of eating. And so mom will make a hamburger and set hamburger down in front of this little kid. And this little kid would get up, walk around, "Mom, can I have a dessert now? Can I have a dessert?" "No, you're not going to have a dessert until you finish your hamburger." "But I want a dessert." "No, you're not going to." And it's just this fight over and over and over. And fundamentally, well, let me just put it this way. This little kiddo came to stay with us for about a week because this little kiddo is at the age of a couple of my kids, and we didn't have any problems with eating. Not only that, little kiddo gained some weight while they were here. Why did they gain weight? Why did we not have a problem? Because we weren't going to make it a deal. And we started out trying to make it a deal. We started trying to make it, "Oh, I'm going to do this." "Listen, do you want any of this?" "Well, yeah, I want some cake." "Sorry, can't have it. You got to finish that first." "Do you want cake?" "Yes, I do." "Then you've got to finish this first because this has got the better calories in it." And I think we did that for probably a day. I think we kind of started doing that. We just kind of started fidgeting around. So we literally just sat down and had this kiddo come and sit down. "No, I want you to sit down and eat." And we actually had to have them sit down and eat. And then we got to bring them their piece of cake. And we did that one day. Never had another problem with a meeting like that. Back with mom and dad again, same problem resurfaced again. So I'm not saying that again and saying, "Oh, look at this." But the point is, we make a big deal out of eating when the reality is, got to stop making it a deal. If a kid's not hungry, they're probably not hungry. All right, I think I'm going to wrap it up on this last one here. We're hitting about 40 minutes here, and I don't want to make this too long. So I'm going to count to 3, and you better stop. Or I'm going to name it out the 1, 2, 3. Sometimes we leverage the fear of the unknown when it comes to our kids. It's like we don't want them to know what's going to happen if we get to the end of it, because if they did, it would be the ultimate bad ever. You know what I'm saying? And counting is twofold. I don't like counting personally. My wife counts with our kids every so often. I don't like it. To me, one is as far as it goes. If I say, Charlotte, I need you to get down off the couch, please. And I mean, if I say one, that's enough. We already should be jumping off that couch because we're not supposed to be standing on it, right? And so I don't personally use counting. Is the minute that I say, sweetie, you need to get off the couch. If we're not off that couch, I am launching off whatever I'm doing, and I'm grabbing a kiddo and saying, I need you to get off the couch because when you jump on this, it tears it up. Do we understand? So the counting to three, to me, I hate this one. I do it sometimes, pretty rarely, but I see my wife do it a lot, and it's just not effective. So anyway, those are just kind of some of those funny things that we do as parents, those funny things that we say as parents that just don't work out very well. Well, all right, guys, that's all that we have for this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Don't forget to come join us this Wednesday where we have another episode of the Family Podcast Network, as well as come join Jeff and I this Friday where we'll have our episode of the Real Family Guys Podcast. We want to come hear you guys then. If nothing else, you guys have a great day, a great week, and we'll see you all on Wednesday.